everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another great program for you today. Now, telling stories is one of the most powerful means that people have to influence, teach, and inspire others. And young people today can benefit greatly from knowing the stories of their older family members. My guest today is Dr. Mary Cronin, business strategist, author, and Boston College School of Management professor. She also is an advisor for Write the Family, an intergenerational family storytelling program affiliated with Write the World. Today, Dr. Cronin will discuss how engaging family members in telling stories can strengthen relationships across generations and build resilience in young people. For more information about Mary Cronin or Write the Family program, please go to writetheworld.com. So welcome to the program, Mary. Great to have you with us today.
Hi, Terry. I'm delighted to be here. Thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely, Mary. And such a pleasure. I am looking forward to talking to you about this topic. But before we get to the topic itself, Mary, tell us a little bit more about your background and what got you interested in family storytelling.
Well, my background, as you mentioned, is being a professor of management at Boston College, a job I love and have done for several decades. And I've written a lot of management books, and my specialty is doing business on the internet and digital strategy. However, along the way in my own personal life and through a lot of my boomer friends, I've heard over and over again that we honestly, Terry, kind of missed the boat in not recording the stories of our own parents and not having the ability to really tell the details of their lives to our children and our grandchildren. And I just had heard so many people say, I wish I had recorded those stories, written down those stories. And then I came across some research from Emory University that just made me absolutely passionate to help other people save and tell their stories while they could. And that was from Emory Family Narratives Lab. And that research has been going on for 20 years now, and it showed how important it was for both the elders and the storytellers and the youngsters, teens, and children to have that intergenerational communication around specifically the stories of their own families. So when I read that, saw how important it was, I happily knew the founder of this great company called Write the World, which provides a writing platform for teen writers. And I said, David, would you be interested in expanding this platform to include older writers and younger writers working together on family stories? And that's where Write the Family came from.
Right. I love that. And this topic, Mary, is so pertinent and relevant to me in my life. I am going home to visit my parents in about a month and had planned on doing some videos with them. We've done it for many years. So I love this topic. Now, before we get to the benefits, what are we talking about in terms of storytelling? What are you referring to? And are you talking about stories from both good times and difficult times, or what?
Great question. And yes, to both the stories of the good times, and often those are the stories that we like to share. And if there's a heritage of passing on stories, it's usually something funny that happened or something really positive that happened in the past. The research, however, shows, Terry, that sharing stories about challenges, difficulties, problems that were overcome or not in the past is actually equally important and sometimes even more important for those benefits of resilience and ability of children to cope with challenges. And if you think about all that's been happening in the past year, with COVID and with the pandemic, this is an especially important time for young people to hear about problems and challenges in their own family that were overcome and that their relatives are comfortable talking about. So it's all of those stories are important. And the other thing is it doesn't have to be a book-length memoir kind of project. Small stories, small anecdotes, things that are just something about past lives, the neighborhoods that people grew up in, their schools they went to, their hobbies when they were kids. All of those things really add up over time. And knowing those things about your family is really important.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there are many listeners, Mary, who are parents and who are grandparents. How would you encourage them to start telling those stories? Should they sit down and just talk? Should they, as we said, make a video, have their children make a video of them, play games? What are some ways that people can share these family stories or challenging times or good times or funny times?
Well, a great way to get started is first make it easy. Of course, it's lovely to have a video, and that will be a precious keepsake in the future. But sometimes that's a barrier to try to do the perfect thing first. So a great way to start is ask the kids, what would they like to know? Play a game. Do a role play interview. Get out the family photo album of your parents or your grandparents and pick out one or two pictures and show them at the table or even on Zoom if you can't all gather together. And ask, well, what was going on in this picture? Who do you think is here? What would you like to know about the people in the picture? Or just say, this is your grandmother. She, you know, she's here holding your mother in her arms right after she was born. Ask some questions and I'll answer them.
So oh, I love those examples. I love those examples. Those are great. You know, it's so interesting as well, Mary, because my father, whenever he sees the grandchildren of my children and my siblings' children, he always says exactly what you just said at the beginning. What would you like to know about me? I will tell you anything. And so it's so interesting. They begin to think of questions when they see my father now. And so that becomes a pattern, that becomes a tradition with my father and my children and my siblings' children. But such great examples that you gave. I love all of them. So what are the benefits then? I know I wanted to first talk about storytelling and what is a story and how can people do it. But what now are the benefits, both to young people and older family members?
Well, let's start with the grandparents because there's a lot of work that's been done over time on the important role that grandparents have as legacy keepers. and storytellers. And that is something that is deeply important to elders, that they are passing on the legacy, that their stories are valuable within their family. And it really reduces any sense of depression or loneliness or social isolation among older people when someone wants to hear their stories, when someone has questions for them about their childhood and growing up years or their first job or anything in their past. That is so validating and so important as people get older to know that those stories will be passed on. It is their heritage. And so when we hear about older people feeling depressed and isolated, and it happens, this is a way to break through that and to build up a sense of value and legacy in older people, and especially grandparents, just really cherish that role of passing on the family legacy and values to younger children. So it's a mental health, and it actually, Terry, has been shown that it improves physical health as well when people feel connected to their families and feel like they have a valuable role within the family. And this is the traditional role that grandparents and older adults have always played. And we've just gotten away from it in today's world. We don't have the dinner table conversations or the intergenerational gatherings as much as we used to. So bringing that back is so important for the health and mental well-being of older adults. And when it comes to kids, and this was really, I knew that about older adults, but the research on children I learned, and children who know the details of their family back to their grandparents, small details, where their grandparents grew up, where their parents went to school, as well as the fun stories, they are more emotionally resilient. They're better performing in their own school years. They don't have as much depression and anxiety, and they're more emotionally outgoing.
And wow, that is fascinating research. Mary, I have to interrupt because that's fascinating research that kids who know the details of their grandparents, where they grew up and about their schooling, are more emotionally resilient and are better performers or academically, I think you're saying, at school. So why is that, do you think? What do they say? What is the explanation? That's fascinating.
Well, the research from the Emory Family Narratives Lab and professors there call it a sense of intergenerational self, which is, I think, a great term and more a moral compass, a sense that they know where they came from. They know they're anchored, their own identity is stronger. And that's really at the root of all this success and resilience and ability to cope with challenges, is they're not on their own as kind of, it's just me. It's, I come from this heritage. I come from this family. I have a stronger self because I incorporated my grandparents' stories and challenges, my parents, my aunts and uncles. And if you think about that, that's what 100 years ago, even 50 years ago, was everyone's experience, more or less. Now it's unusual for kids to be able to sit down with their grandparents and hear those stories regularly.
Absolutely, especially because we have kids being very mobile. They don't live in the same cities or even states or maybe countries as their parents and grandparents. And so, like you said, we're not able to sit down at the dinner table. We're not able to have those times with our grandparents as much. And especially, as you said, during the pandemic as well, we had very little time with our grandparents. So that sense of intergenerational self and that moral compass by telling these family stories is so fascinating. I love that research.
And Terry, I will say that, you know, I have designed some workshops now for Right the Family. And one of the workshops had a dad and his two teenage sons, 12 and 14. And as part of what we do in a workshop, we say, well, what do you want to learn? What do you want to get out of this experience? And these are online. They're not in person, but they're very powerful. And this young boy, 12-year-old, said, I want to know more about where my family values came from. And his dad was, whoa, really? I didn't know that. It was so amazing to see that happen with that intergenerational exchange right there. Right. Because they did take the time to practice and learn how to share stories. And that's what I've come to see is it's not you're doing a great job with your family and what you said about your grandfather saying, ask me anything. That's wonderful. But a lot of times grandparents don't know where to start. Kids aren't used to paying attention to those kind of stories. They aren't asked to sit and think about that for a minute. What questions do you have? So we have to work a little harder to make that happen and make it a part of family life to get all these benefits.
Now, I know you have a Do You Know scale, and it has 20 questions about family history. Are those some of the questions that listeners might use to begin this kind of storytelling? And if so, what are some of those questions?
Yes, and let me be very clear. This is not my scale. This comes from Emory University Research.
Okay.
So I don't want to claim it. These are psychologists and sociologists who have done this long-term research, which is so valuable. I just read it, and I adopted it, and I built a workshop program for Right the Family around it. So just to be clear on that, and then some of the questions, these are very basic, and I'll ask you a couple if you don't mind, Terry.
Oh, I would love that.
So let's start with some easy ones. Do you know where your mother grew up?
Yes, I do. She grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we have visited the place, even the house where she used to live.
And you just have to say yes or no to these for now. Do you know where your parents were married, what town they were married in?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you know where your grandparents first met?
Yes, I do as well.
Okay, you are scoring 1,000. Do you know some of the awards that your dad got in elementary school or high school?
In high school, college, and beyond, I do.
Okay.
Yes. And in fact, I should say or interrupt, I'm never good at just saying yes or no, Mary.
well, that's recently, okay. I know we are so limited in time.
Okay,
and do you know where the names of your grandparents came from in your family? Were they family traditional names, or were they names that, you know, the first time somebody in your family was called Zachary or something was your grandfather?
Yes, I do. They were family names.
Okay. All good. See, you know all those things. If you ask the average teenager today, they would not know all those things.
Right. But those are great questions for listeners to begin to have those discussions with their children and their grandchildren. Those are so helpful. Thank you, Mary. Now, have you made family storytelling a part of your life? And if so,
yes.
How? And do you know the answers to all those questions that you asked me?
I do now. I do. And I have now the joy of having my own grandchildren. They're very young still, but I have made telling stories a part of our family life, because my children now want more stories to pass on. And it's very interesting. Of course, I'm on fire to do this. So I would have done it, I think, anyway. But it's important to be sure that your own children and relatives are motivated to listen to the stories. And we talked about some ways to get everyone engaged in asking questions and looking at photos and so on. And I have found that works. It might seem hokey to set up an interview or use one or two photos to kind of prompt questions, but, you know, it's a really tried and true technique, and it will get people interested and start the conversation. And, you know, I've learned that it doesn't happen spontaneously. So I'm willing to take the time to set the stage, and then the conversation flows and the questions, you know, come out. So it's been fun. I've been doing it, and yes. I've been teaching it both. And I'm so glad that I've been able to do this.
And can you share one example of a story that you've told your children and then how they've responded?
Yes, I can, because it just is going on. So my mother, I have an Irish heritage, and my mother was the only person in her extended family in rural Ireland who immigrated to America. And she was only 18 when she did immigrate. And I actually found a picture of her on the ship sailing to America, and started to delve into those details, which she didn't share with me as much as I had wished, and I didn't ask the questions. So I went back to her family in Ireland and found out the answers to some of those questions, why she came, where she went. And I got out that picture and showed it to my daughters, and we talked about it. And one thing that happened is my daughters now want to become Irish citizens.
Oh, nice.
They're so proud of that heritage. And I really understood very belatedly how courageous that was of my mom to immigrate on her own when she was only 18 years old. And I think it's reinforced my own sense and my daughter's sense of we come from very courageous
women,
family line women,
right,
who are willing to do things on their own. And that's been really a very powerful feeling to go back and touch that family story.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, Mary. That's a wonderful story. And I love also the impact that it's had not only on you, but your daughters as well. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, we only have 2 minutes left. Time flies. I love this. But if there's one message that you want people to take away from today's program, what might that be?
It is tell your story to your family and to other young people. Make the time to do it and understand how valuable your story is if you're an older person. It is something that will make a difference in the lives of your family members and even people around you. It's valuable. That is the message I would most like to share. Feel good about telling your story and try to find out what people would like to know and answer those questions. And if you're a parent, make time for this to happen. It is so valuable, but it won't necessarily happen automatically in today's digital world.
Well, thank you so much. That's a powerful message. And you gave us examples of how parents and grandparents can do that and the impact, the strong, significant impact that it has on young people. Thank you so much for joining me today, Mary. What a wonderful time. And it's great to talk with you.
I loved it. Thank you so much, Terry.
And again, listeners, if you're interested in Dr. Mary Cronin or the Right the Family Program, please go to writetheworld.com. com. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.